This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Welcome to This Is Cinema. It shows Kevin 27 back with another fire episode. And today we have another great episode for you. We got Roadhouse 2024. We got Ricky Stanicky, Amazon coming through clutch. And then we're going to end it with a Netflix exclusive. We talk about the three body system, which is kind of my favorite thing on TV right now. So let's get into it. Light up that exotic if you got it. Pour up that expensive so we can get offensive. So Roadhouse, this is a movie about an ex-UFC fighter, Dalton, who takes a job as a bouncer at a Florida Keys roadhouse, only to discover that this paradise is not all it seems. And that's a weird description, because was it ever a paradise? I mean, I guess when he first got down there, but I mean, yo, the black chick, man, who said anything about it, who was it? Jessica Williams, which is the actress. She was good. But when she initially told him, she told him what was up. Like, yo, they keep messing my crib up. They keep messing my spot up. And then every time we hire a bouncer, they only around for, you know, 2, maybe 3 days. So it's not like he went in there blind. But obviously, he a UFC fighter, ex-UFC fighter. So clearly, he got them paws. So how do I feel about the movie? I thought it was a decent watch. You know, the trailer looked really good. The movie doesn't do it justice as much. I mean, if you look at it, it's 60% on the Rotten Tomato meter and 55% on the audience score. So yeah, I'm right there, man. Like 55, 60, it's all in the same wheelhouse. And I think, you know, it's not a movie for 2024, you know, especially with the amount of guns that run rampant in America. It's like, bro, this issue could be solved very quickly. Pull the blicks out, get the dumping. Like, I'm not really sure. And this is in Florida, mind you, some of the laxest gun laws of all time. In the whole country, Florida got some of the most lax gun laws. Like, come on, man. So I'm not really sure what that was about, you know. You know, Jake Gyllenhaal, I thought he did a good job. And Conor McGregor, he was good, but to me, he was good, but he just acted like Conor McGregor. So it's like, I can't really judge it based off of too much, you know, because to me, and I'm not saying that's how, well, bro, I seen Conor McGregor throw chairs through a bus. Like, I mean, he got arrested for this. You know what I mean? So I know Conor McGregor is about that action. And that's exactly what he was like in this film. So, yeah, I thought it was a cool watch. It's the number one film on Amazon Prime. But how good of a watch? It's a decent watch, you know. I feel like a movie like that is just kind of hard to do in 2024. Now, I did like how it ended up being like a bigger play at hand when it comes to, because they don't have the character names on here for a lot of the people. But, okay, so Lucas Gage, or no, it's Billy Magnuson. He was like one of the villains in the movie. And I think his peoples was trying to buy the Roadhouse, right? The Roadhouse was the only part of the land that he couldn't buy, and she didn't want to get up off of it. So pretty much he kept trying to send people to the Roadhouse to terrorize it. Now, I have not watched the original, and if I did, it was so long ago, it's not even in my memory. That expense would be hidden. It's not even in my memory, but obviously it was with Patrick Swayze, one of the GOATs. Like, I love Patrick Swayze, man. Obviously, just because his last name is so cool. But, I mean, come on, man. Patrick Swayze. I mean, he got some of my favorite movies, man. Like, I'm not even kidding you. You know, okay, let's see. Point Break, Fire. I seen that. It was another one. It was like a real, it was like one of his newer films. Anyways, I can't find it. But, yo, Patrick Swayze, man, he is the shit. And rest in peace to him always. But anyways, yeah, I just, so I can't really compare, you know, the two, like if that's better or what, I have no idea, you know. But at the end of the day, I mean, I'm not mad at a remake from 1989. You know what I mean? And obviously it's just because I'm not that old. You know what I mean? Like when I'm starting, because now that I'm getting older, I'm starting to see remakes of things that I like coming up. Like even as far as music, like I'm starting to see like 50 Cent songs get sampled into big hits. And I'm like, yo, this shit is crazy. Like I was bumping this when I was 13 and now it's a hit to a whole new generation and they have no idea about it. Like, so, you know, I'm cool with that type of stuff. You know, I thought the best part about this movie, I'm gonna keep it real, the fighting was on point, and it should have been, right? My guy, he was an ex-UFC fighter. Obviously, Conor McGregor's in it. But still, that doesn't have anything to do with the fight choreography. The fight choreography in Roadhouse was on point, bro. I'm not even kidding you. So I would highly recommend you go watch it just at least one time just to get a, you know, a good feel for it. Again, Jake Gyllenhaal was amazing because, I mean, bro, he's just a really good actor. I think that's just what it comes down to. You know, he's just a good actor. Post Malone was in this, and while he did have a short role, I liked him in his role. Like, I think Post Malone acted very well in his role. You know what I mean? When he was saying, I'm not fighting that guy. What the hell? Like, I really believed it. I really, like, I didn't believe that that was Post Malone. I believed it was whoever Post Malone was playing in the film. So Post Malone, if he didn't have all that scribble scrabble on his face, man, he might actually be, you know, a good actor. But, man, you know, he let somebody daughter draw all over his face. So, you know, acting for bigger roles is definitely not in the cards for him. And damn, why would it be? It's kind of crazy. Like back in the days, that was like such a pipeline, you know, from acting or from music. And then you go right into movies. Like nowadays, not so much, you know, not so much. So at the end of the day, you know, I thought the way they resolved everything was good. I did like that my mans had no problem with killing motherfuckers because, you know, that'd be my problems with a lot of movies. Like, and this was obviously rated R. So they was able to get away with a lot, you know, and highly recommend it. You know, this was pretty much spoiler free. But I definitely recommend you go watch that movie, you know, just to get a good feel. And if you've seen it, where does it stack up with the original? You know, my brother-in-law, he said he just watched it last night. Thought it was a little weird. Obviously, it's a movie from 1989. So, yeah, man. So, where do I rank it on a scale of 1 to 10? I give it a 6. Strong 6. You know, and It's kind of sad this year, man. It hasn't been really that many good movies I've watched this year. This has been the crappiest year of movies for me that I can remember since COVID. You know, but it is what it is, man. It's just how I go. So, yeah, shout out to Jake Gyllenhaal, Roadhouse. You know, 6 out of 10, highly recommend. And let's move on to the next one, shit. So let's move on to Ricky Stenicki. So 20 years after creating the imaginary Ricky Stenicki, three childhood friends still use their non-existent pal as a handy alibi for their immature behavior. When their spouses and partners get suspicious and demand to finally meet him, the guilty trio decides to hire washed-up actor Rod to bring him to life. However, when Rod takes his role of a lifetime a little too far, they begin to wish they've never invented Ricky in the first place. So, I thought this was a good premise, honestly. When I seen the trailer, I was pretty much like, yeah, I'm gonna watch this, you know. I'm not even sure if I've seen the trailer. I may have seen the trailer, but I'm not sure, but that doesn't matter. I actually like Ricky Stenicki, man. And you know what? Yo, John Cena is funny as fuck. Like, bro, John Cena is hilarious. So far, from what I see, because he was pretty serious in, you know, the first Fast and Furious movie he was in. The second one, he was kind of goofy, but I didn't really get his personality like that until he did Peacemaker. So I thought he was really funny in Peacemaker. He doubled down on that in Ricky Stenicki, and honestly, he bodied it, stole the show, which he should if he's the main star. But this is a movie starring Zac Efron, you know what I mean? Like, and that other ginger dude. And I don't even want to say that, but they say it. I don't know if it's okay for me to say it, so apologize. Excuse my French, as you will. But, yeah, Andrew Santino, obviously from Dave. This guy is freaking hilarious, bro. Like, I think Andrew Santino, one of those guys, just the way his voice sounds, I think he could literally read out of a dictionary and make me laugh. Like, that guy is funny. You know, now, I don't know if he does stand-up or whatever, but as far as just in movies and TV shows, every time he's in, he kills, he bodies. So I really mess with Andrew Santino. And Jermaine Fowler, I'm going to tell you the only thing I didn't like about this movie is the two white guys, you know, they all good. They working in, you know, business firms. They doing a thing. And then the black guy, he got to be gay. He got to be a bum. No direction in life. Like, that's the worst thing about the movie. You know what I mean? And not just because he gay, but why the black dude had to be gay? You know what I mean? And not only did he have to be gay, but why couldn't he be one of the ones working at the firm? Like, why he had to be a bum boyfriend, want to break up with him because he ain't shit, ain't trying to be shit, ain't ever going to be shit. Like, I'm not really understanding what that's about. Amazon, Jeff Bezos, you need to holler at your boy because I'm not feeling that, you know, a little disrespectful. But anyways, you know, I just think the whole premise of it all was a pretty good premise. They start the movie off, they go in and try to, I think they try to take a dump on somebody's porch or put some dog and set it on fire, but they end up setting the whole house on fire. And then they left a backpack with the name Ricky Stenicki in it. And they got away with setting the house on fire. So they was using it ever since. So I just think the whole premise of it was good. Now, one thing, it's a comedy. So let's just laugh at it. You don't got to take it too serious. You know, but I'm not about to be lying about shit in my old age. Like, as an adult in my 30s, I'm not lying to my girl about Nathan. You know what I mean? But I do kind of get it, because can you really skip out on your girl baby shower to go to a concert? No, you can't. You know what I mean? So I get it. Like, I get, like, the sentiment of it. Will your girlfriend really allow you to skip out on her baby shower to go to a concert? No. But if your homie, who's your bestie, got cancer and they came back, you know, maybe you can get that off. You know, I still don't even think, you know, well, I ain't got no girl, but from the women that I've been dealing with and how I know women, I still don't even think they're going to let that fly. Oh, go see your friend. I don't know, man, especially if they've never met the guy, you know, and they have some Hall of Fame lies. You know what I mean? But the thing about lying, you got a lie to cover up the last lie, and then you got a lie to cover up the last three lies, and then you got a lie again to cover up the last five lies. So it's just really no point in lying, you know what I mean? But I'm going to tell you this, bro. Yeah, John Cena, he bodied this, you know, just the whole premise of him doing a cover band or him being, you know, doing covers, but remixing every song to masturbation, bro. Hilarious. When he told, because I just did this, when he told the, who was that? Zac Efron's. When he told Zac Efron's boss or whatever, when he was like, man, you got jack off hands or some shit. And he was like, every time you try to make a point, it's like you putting a dick in your mouth. Bro, I start dying, bro. And then they look, and every time he was saying something, he was like, let's go. We got to do this. Let's go. Like it was hilarious, bro. And it made me really self-conscious about, and I was like, do I do that? Now, I do the Tom Brady, let's go, you know, but it's more of a, you know, kind of punch, not like a, you know, the only person I seen doing that was Donald Trump when he was doing his dance. And they're like, he jerking off two cocks at once. You know, that's the only time I ever seen that. So I just, you know, I think the premise was a good premise. And I actually like how it turned on its head with Ricky Stenicki actually coming to work for these guys and, you know, forcing Zac Efron and Andrew Santino's characters to, you know, actually come out and tell the truth about what was going on. But meanwhile, Ricky Stenicki was playing, I wish they had his name on here, because I don't think he's calling Zac Efron. But, you know, Zac Efron's character and Andrew Santino's character, but John Cena or Ricky Stenicki actually made a play with his girl, with Zac Efron's girlfriend, Lex Scott Davis, which in the movie part, you know, and they actually pretty much pranked him. So it's like, all this time we was pranking you, now we pranking you. You know, when we talking about the girl, because she said, or he said, which is kind of funny, but I guess just people wouldn't really think about it, but I'm gonna keep it real. I remember the Ebola outbreak. So to me, that was a dumbass lie, because Ebola was a big deal when Obama was president. Like, people was like, man, I hope that shit don't come over here. Like, because I remember it was a nurse on a plane who had Ebola, and they made sure she couldn't come back. It was something like that. Like, because they didn't want it to spread. It could have been a pandemic then. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I just, it's shit. You know, so when he said, oh, Ricky got to go back to Africa or something to fight Ebola or something, that's when she knew he was lying. And I knew, obviously, I already know he's lying, but I thought that was a dumbass lie. You know what I mean? Because come on, man. So, yeah, that was good to me. I really liked it. And I like how it turned on his head. And I like how Ricky Stenicki gave it up and was like, bro, if it wasn't for these guys, I wouldn't even been able to kick my, you know, my drinking habit. Like, because they gave him a shot, you know, he was able to kick his drinking habit, you know, pour up that expensive. So I really enjoyed this movie. You know, it's one of those feel-good movies, but a comedy that's really funny. I've been telling y'all, man, most of the comedies I've been watching have been ass cheeks. You know, they just too PC. This one, they weren't afraid to really get down and dirty, which I really love. So yeah, I think Ricky Stenicki is a go. You know, it's a go. You know, like, you should watch Ricky Siddiqui, especially if you want to have a good laugh. Now, who didn't have a good laugh is the Rotten Tomatoes people, because they gave it a 47%. And the consensus was Ricky Siddiqui gets some big laughs thanks to John Cena's Up for Anything performance, but they aren't enough to support the movie's thin plot and excessive runtime. Now, they say excessive runtime. Meanwhile, the movie is 1 hour and 48 minutes long. Like, I'm not even going to lie. Some movies, when I look at them, they under two hours. I'm like, oh, W, let's go. Let's go. It's a quick watch. Let's get through it. Let's watch it. Boom. So I'm not really sure why they felt that way. The audience score was 73%. Obviously, I'm with the audience score. I really think that this was a good movie just to watch. I don't think every movie needs to be like Spielberg or have Shakespeare to it. Like, bro, it's a funny movie. It's a good premise. I don't really see what more do you need. You know, they made up a character. The people wanted to see the character. They paid someone to be the character. The character ended up turning into a nightmare, and they had to face their demons. And it was still, you know, a message in it, which is obviously lying is not good. So, yeah, Ricky Siddiqui, W for me. I'm going to give it a actually, I watched it twice. So I give it an 8 out of 10. You know what I mean? I put it on one night and then I put it on the next night because I really thought it was funny. And in 2024, it is pressing to find a movie that makes me laugh. A movie or a TV show. You know what I mean? Like, just stuff just isn't really that funny anymore. And I don't know if it's because Twitter is just so damn funny. Social media is just so damn funny. I don't know what it is, but a lot of the, you know, the stuff on movies don't make me laugh, but this was up there. So go watch Ricky Siddiqui. That's a W. So last up, we got the Three Body Problem. And this has been my favorite show of 2024 so far, because it was the most interesting. You know, it was different, something I've never known about. I mean, obviously, I liked Echo or whatnot. I'm liking X-Men so far. But from everything I watched, Three Body Problem is a problem. You know what I mean? So the Three Body Problem is an American science fiction television series created by Devin Benioff or Benioff and Alexander Wise. No, D.B. Wise and Alexander Wu, based on the Hugo Award-winning Chinese novel The Three Body Problem by Liu Cixin, or I don't know. It's the second live action. Never seen the first one, so who cares? And the premise is Ye Wenji is an astrophysicist who sees her father beaten to death during a struggle session in the Chinese Cultural Revolution. She is conscripted by the military because of her scientific background and is sent to a secret military base in a remote region. Her fateful decision at the base echoes across space and time to a group of scientists in the present day, forcing them to face humanity's greatest threat. So pretty much, this chick sent a message to aliens, and they told her, hey, do not respond. If you respond, we will come through and take over your entire planet. But her already seeing what happened with her dad, and blah, 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 blah. She's emotional. She responds and say, y'all need to come take us over because we ain't shit. You know what I mean? And, you know, that was disheartening, man. I couldn't see anyone really doing that in real life. Well, yo, people are weird. You know, it's a lot of crazy people out here. But as far as the TV show, you know, it really starts off with this lady, and I don't remember her name. So it really starts off with this lady who was I'm assuming it's Augie. And she's like got this timer going down, and I think it's like 3 days and so on, so on, so on, so. And I think it's whatever she was developing, the aliens was contacting her, to pretty much tell her to shut it down. So whatever she's creating, it can kill them because these people, these aliens, I'm not gonna call them people, they are trying to get to Earth because their planet is being destroyed because they got three suns and their planet, it keep getting pulled into the gravitational system of each sun every time. It's new stuff. Sometimes it gets frozen, it gets hot, they get sucked up. It's a bunch of crazy stuff. So what they do is they send a headset that kind of looks like a video game, like some VR type of thing, and they send it to all of these different scientists, and they are giving it to them so they can figure out which one is smart enough to figure out the three body system. So the one who figures it out is the one who is Jim, is it Jim Chang? Yeah, she's the one who figured out who's Jess Hong, and she's the one that figures it out that it's really no way that you can defeat the three body system. So they end up telling her, yo, so what we gonna do is we coming to Earth, but because what they were saying is we've achieved more this, and honestly, this is kind of crazy because it's the first time I've ever seen a movie where they say we doing better than the aliens. You know what I mean? Like they always like, oh, it's an advanced civilization, is this, is that. It's the first time I've ever seen that. You know what I mean? So I thought that was pretty cool that, they gave Earth some credit. Like they was like, oh, how long did it take you guys to get to agriculture? And it was like, oh, 10,000 years or whatever. I forget what it was. And then she said, well, how about farming? And then how about military or industrialization and blah, 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 and so on and so forth. And they was like, see, you guys are ahead of us. So our what we are afraid of is when we get there 400 years later, you guys are going to be way more advanced and we don't know if we can beat you, but we're going to mess with y'all until then. And it's obviously because that lady sent that message back in the 60s and said whatever she said. So, I think it's a good premise. The only thing that I really didn't like about it is, bro, 400 years is just so far away. Like when I told one of my sexy nurses at my job, when I told her about it, she was like, well, damn, 400 years, I'm gonna be dead and gone. And I was like, yeah, that's true. But would you fight for humanity anyways? If you know, because this is kind of, I'm not saying that this is what it is, but it's kind of like the future war, right? I don't remember how far into the future war was. Let me actually see.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, the Tomorrow War. Damn, it doesn't say. Okay, so the Tomorrow War is 30 years. So that's like, I'm 32 right now. I would hope to be alive at 62. 462 is no shot. You know what I mean? It's not even close. So yeah, You know, that's something that you would really be looking forward to. They have people killing themselves. Now, I can see how it would be kind of crazy because the aliens, they pretty much cyber attacked everyone. And they said, you guys are bugs. And their whole thing was they wanted someone to coexist with, but they can't coexist with humans because humans have the ability to lie and deceive, cause deception, as they do not have that ability on their planet, which is a strong weakness, I might add. So, you know, and they can hear everything on Earth. They can see everything. They tapped in. So it is pretty scary. And they put like some type of dome over Earth. I'm not sure what it is, if it was a scarab or whatever. But what really caught my attention too, just quick side note, in this season was the end of episode one. Because I was watching it. I was like, it's good. But when they made the light, not the lights, but the stars blink and everyone seen it, I was like, bro, that would scare the shit out of me. Could you imagine if you just like outside one day and you just like you driving home, you walking home, whatever, and the stars start blinking, all of the stars, you'd be scared as hell. You would feel like someone's trying to send you a message, whether it's a message from God or whether it's a message from aliens, who knows? But you would feel very scared. You know, you might feel like, hey, judgment day is coming soon. So another thing that was really cool is they had people being assigned after, you know, because I think the first three episodes was about learning about them and all of, or maybe the first four. And then the last half of the season is really about setting up defenses and how we're going to figure this out. And it's three people that they destined to, they can't say anything to anyone, nothing about the plans to defeat the aliens. You know, they got to just keep it in here because from what they know, the aliens can't read minds. You know what I mean? But they can hear everything on Earth. They can see everything. And yeah, I think for humanity, I mean, why wouldn't you want to fight? You know what I mean? And when you are in the VR game or whatever, they look like humans, but we don't know what they look like. They could look like them ugly ass things, them ugly bugs on Invincible that Omni-Man was smashing. You know what I mean? So yeah, I'm cool. I'm cool with it, man. I thought it was really good. I thought it was a really good season for season one. Let's see where it's at on the Rotten Tomatoes, because I've seen a lot of people really enjoying it. So it's a 77% on the tomato meter, or actually it's 78, and then 80% on the audience score. Yeah, Netflix got one. You know, the thing about Netflix, they have something fire like this, and then they'll cancel after one season, or you won't hear about it again for 3 or 4 years. It's kind of like with a lot of this stuff, man. So yeah, I think it was really good. You know, highly recommend you going to watch The Three Body Problem. It was so good. I was like, I think I watched the entire thing in one night. You know what I mean? Like, it was 8 episodes. The first two, maybe three, was over an hour, and then the rest of them was like 48, 49 minutes. So it's an easy watch. And I watched the entire thing like in one sitting. Like, I kind of, the last couple episodes, I was kind of sleep watching. So when I woke up, I actually watched the last episode again just to make sure. And I had missed a lot of stuff, so I was glad I did. But it was a really good season, man. Series so far. You know, how do they come back from, you know, this? Because, and shout out my boy Benedict Wong, you know, AKA what is my man's called? I can't believe I'm blanking out on some Marvel right now. But anyways, the Sorcerer Supreme, you know, he was really good in this too, you know, and it was good to see. I like seeing these Marvel actors act in stuff outside of Marvel. And he bodied it, man. He did a really good job. So salute Benedict Wong. You know, he did a really good job. I think the whole cast did good. And I am interested to see how it wraps up with season 2. I don't think it's it. Is it something that needs to be three? Because the thing about it is, if it's not for 400 years, that's a long ass time. So can you stretch it out to two and three seasons? Maybe you could do two seasons and then we'll figure, they'll figure out how to stop them, because it seemed like they almost stopped them, but you know, it was close, but no cigar. So maybe they'll figure out how to stop them, you know, before they can even get here. And that's what we're hoping for, because I mean, 400 years is a big time gap, big time jump. So no one in the original show would even be close to being there. So, you know, I just, you know, this is something, give me one more season and wrap it up, put a beautiful bow on it, and we good. So I'll give this, I give it an 8 out of 10. Another one. We got 2 8 out of 10s here. Netflix killed it, you know, with this one. It's probably my favorite series that I've seen so far this year. So yeah, shout out Netflix, man. They're coming out strong. And I really think it was a good one, man. Highly recommend. Go watch The Three Body System. Obviously, it's people who will break it down more in depth, you know, but just as a review, thumbs up for sure. Go watch This Is Cinema, okay? So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. This has been another episode of This Is Cinema. You know, give me the content and I'll make the content. You know what I mean? So we coming out, we already came out with This Cinema. We about to hit them with another one. So I hope you guys enjoyed this. It shows Kevin27. Make sure you give that thumbs up. You know what I mean? And please subscribe to my channel at Kevin27 World on YouTube. And please, 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 please 5-star me on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And do not forget, Off Day Tomorrow, and do not forget Straight Outta Marvel. We are here, okay? Believe in T, make believers.